This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 430, recorded on August 12th, 2015. And Don is covering his face out of disgust. Don't ever watch the pre-show because it is full of terrible things and terrible people. I'm Brian Kilby with you. With me, I guess. With us.
With this us. Week.
We have Melvar, Diecast, Don, and John DeLuna, Rob Clay, and XVR on assignment. Don't know what they're doing.
But thank you for letting us into your homes this evening.
Yeah, the door was unlocked, so we sort of, you know, met ourselves at home.
Let ourselves right in.
Yeah. Hey, wow. This is an awesome week. So no, it's not that bad. There's quite a few things going on this week. But we're still kind of like in the late summer post convention blues. We should be getting a lot of news here in Diecast. When's New York Comic Con? Early October?
Yeah, early October.
Man.
Second week in October, I think.
Pretty excited.
Yeah.
I should go.
That's what I noticed when the last couple days or the last like week or two where there hasn't been a lot of news and I'm like, man, October's going to be really busy for us.
Oh my God, it will be. And then, you know, February's not far after that. So this is really one of the times when we should really sort of just take a break and chill. I guess ultimately that's what Rob and XV are doing. Rob's probably playing one of his Japanese games that he can't understand.
Well, it could be they watched that one episode of Voyager and it just, you know...
That's enough to break anybody's will.
Yeah.
Didn't go well. Did not go well.
Yeah. Hey, did anybody get anything this week? Anybody get anything cool?
I picked up in a gift package from Amazon, I picked up the gold G1 recolor, well, the golden hued recolor of R.I.D. Grimlock.
What do you think?
Haven't had a chance to open yet because...
How does he look?
He looks great. I think he looks really good in those colors, at least in the robot mode. Also in the box was Generations Tank Order that I got for $8. And then the book that I've been waiting for that I've plowed through 350 pages in 2 days. So I haven't really been focused on Grimlock yet.
I have my Kabaya Gumkit Piranacon in my pile of loot. I should ship that. But it'll probably just join all of the other Kabaya kits that I haven't put together over the last 5 years.
But this one's Piranacon.
Yeah, I know.
So speaking about Don's stuff, did you move your stuff behind you or did Kronos disintegrate?
No, I have a landline phone that is currently not working and they're coming tomorrow to test the line. And I had to move the shelf that was in front of the socket.
Okay, Don, do you get self-conscious when people come into your house and see all your stuff?
Well, so few people do it, and the few that do, it's like, yeah, I collect toys. Oh, okay, that's cool. All right.
Does anybody here at all get self-conscious when people see their stuff like that?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
I do too.
Well, I used to, but it's like... I have so few people in my life, and even fewer ever come over, and it's not like a woman's ever going to see this, so why worry?
And some are watching you right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, I have to say, with all my recording equipment and everything, at this point, people come in, and they think I'm a YouTube game streamer.
Oh, like a Twitch streamer?
Yeah.
You wish.
Yeah, that's where the money is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It is.
Yeah.
Get on that, Brian.
You know, if I had not, like, you know, gotten a job and I was, like, living at home or living in a basement somewhere, doing nothing else but, like, playing games, I would probably be a trillionaire.
Look at it this way. If you were 15 to 20 years younger than you are now, living in this world.
And a girl.
You would be on Twitch.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you'd be a monster on Twitch.
I would be a monster on Twitch. You know,
it's right up your alley.
It is. I mean, like, I, you know, I totally would be all about that stuff. I actually built a PC back in the late 90s to just render video, trying to render it in real time. Couldn't stream it anywhere. I was just trying to capture video, but, you know, I used that to, like, do the podcast with and everything. I love that stuff.
You're born too early.
Too late. Yeah, too early. Dang it, dang it, dang it. Okay. So, paving the way for other people. Anybody wants to send residuals my way, you can email brian@tfradio.net. Hey, so a friend of mine at work gave me a bunch of boxes of stuff this week. I was super stoked, actually. This is the guy that was offering or said that he had a USS flag that he didn't need, which I told him, you probably need to sell that.
Did he?
He's thinking about it.
Is it sealed?
No. It's okay. The one he had as a kid, but he still has the box for it. So that mint-ish condition, WrestleMania 3 era WWF magazine that I tweeted out.
Oh yeah.
That was his from when he was a kid. He like kept all his stuff in like perfect condition. It's really kind of weird, but it's awesome. He gave me five boxes of stuff, including some Transformers. You know, some of them need some TLC. Like Skylinks is pretty well worn, and there's a Jetfire that looks to be complete.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a nice, really nice ramjet in there, a blaster, and some combiner pieces. You know, yeah, no, it was awesome. He just gave it to me. He didn't need it. He threw out a perfectly good Cobra Hydrofoil, which is amazing.
What?
To me. Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't know that anybody would want it. Yeah, I know. Awesome dude. Really great guy. Let's see here. So I actually wrote down the stuff that he gave me that I thought was really cool. He gave me like a complete Castle Grayskull.
Wow.
That's in really nice shape. A bunch of Masters of the Universe figures, which I told him they'll probably just live in a box with the rest of my Masters of the Universe figures. But, you know, he didn't care. He just didn't want them. He wanted them out of his house. He gave me a G.I. Joe Mobile Command Center. That's something that, yeah, wow. Like, yeah, I know. It's pretty awesome. I mean, so I don't know how complete it is, but that will definitely be going on the shelf.
On display.
Yeah. And I told him that the Castle Grayskull, which is beautiful, I told him that would go in the living room and that Kim would hate it. And she didn't think it was as funny as I did. But
yeah, I'll bet she was thrilled when you brought home five boxes of somebody else's toys.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And stuff that, like, I don't even collect, like, Micro Machines. So those will either go to my nephew or I may just create a Micro Machines display. He had, like, a whole stack of the Masters of the Universe comics that came packed in with the toys. He looks younger than me, but I guess he's not. Probably just has good genes. But his stuff is in pristine condition.
You know, Brian, that's who you need to go for Halloween. If you're not going to go as Chaotica and Arachnia from Voyager, you need to go as He-Man and She-Ra. Kim could be She-Ra.
I would be completely honest with you, and I hope he's not watching it right now. And I'm not going to name names because he may be watching it. And I know that he has friends that are watching, and they'll know exactly who I'm talking about. But a friend of mine, his wife told him when they were dating that she would dress as She-Ra for him if he wanted.
Ooh.
And he told her not to because he would never want her to dress as anything else. Like, he would just want her to dress as She-Ra constantly.
Excellent.
Yeah, he has a She-Ra thing. Christmas one year, I gave him a framed She-Ra animation cell, and it's like still hanging like on his living room wall.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really awesome. Great guy. He's a super human being. But yeah, so a bunch of stuff. I'm really pleased. I just don't have room for it, so I've got to find room. I've got so many boxes of stuff.
New house, that's the solution.
I do need a new house. Gosh, what? If I get a new house, I'll have so much room for more stuff.
Exactly.
Wait, hey Brian, I just thought of something. As far as like the Micro Machine stuff, is any of it carded or
no,
is it all loose?
No, it's all loose.
Because I thought maybe it was carded. Maybe you can get John Machida to autograph it for a charity auction the next time there's one at a convention.
Don, I am not as selfless as you are. I just want to keep the stuff in my collection.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I would totally do that.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, but no, it's all loose.
Okay. Well, yeah. If he wrote really small, I guess he could do it.
Yeah, he can speak really fast. He could probably you know, write really small. So, okay. So let me see here. What else we got going on? Okay. Anything else? Anything else before we jump into the show?
I got more Vipers from Amazon.
Heck yeah.
You sure did.
I built the crap out of those. I have 8 now.
Very nice.
And they are guarding Serpentor as I speak. So
very excellent. Nice. That's awesome.
Hey, I got the old snake and bats and what's her face? Marissa Fairborn with Afterbreaker.
Oh, God. I want the Marissa Fairborn. I just don't want to buy it.
I want that old snake figure. How did that turn out?
Really good. Which, he's neat. Is old snake.
Is that based on the figure from
Only Human?
I know that, Don.
Oh.
Is that based on the figure from the last animated series?
Yeah.
Why can't I think of the name? What's the name of the series? Renegades?
Oh,
Renegades? Is it Renegades?
No.
Resolute?
No.
No, it was after that. I think Renegades is it.
Yeah, it was G.I. Joe Renegades. I never watched it.
The bats are awesome.
Are they?
They're beautiful.
It is Renegades. I was right.
I mean, they're beautiful. And that mold's actually really fun. I actually like that mold a lot.
So it's the – is it the Jet Viacon? What are they?
It's the Soundwave. A first appearance or whatever they call it.
First edition.
Yeah, first edition Prime Soundwave. Really nice mold. I forgot how nice it was. But and the color scheme is really awesome. So I like that set. I haven't bothered opening Marissa Fairborn and Afterbreaker.
I wouldn't.
Get around to that.
I would just keep that on card because it
– Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need more loose G.I. Joe figures. I don't need any more cards.
I do like Old Snake just kind of trolling around my Transformers display, though. It's kind of fun.
I like it. The problem is it's not so different from any other Cobra Commander figure that I have that it really differentiates itself. I could just pretend that any of my other Cobra Commanders are Old Snake and be happy.
Yeah.
But they're not wearing a trench coat and a fedora.
I could put a hat on him. I could probably make a trench coat.
Find a tiny hat.
I could go to Michael's or somewhere and for $5 have a Old Snake. Yeah. Mm. Hey, I'm sure we've mentioned this before, but darn it, it's worth mentioning again. So this week in history, it's a big one. In 1986, Transformers the Movie is released to the United States theaters. And for a generation of nerds in their late 20s, early 30s, it's the only thing they remember about Transformers.
I was 4. I think I saw it.
There in the theaters with my cousins watching it. I was 16.
I didn't watch it till it was on HBO.
Yeah, I didn't watch it until much later. Like I didn't actually see it as a kid.
I was 16 years old and
driving a Trans Am for a Firebird.
Actually it was a 77 Celica is what I had.
They had Celicas in the 70s? In the United States?
Yeah.
Seriously?
My first car was a 77 Celica.
Holy crap. I didn't even know that they were selling those in the U.S. at that point.
Yeah. By the time I got it, though, it had a few issues. The alternator kept kicking in, so Dad had to install a toggle switch. I had toggle on their own, crank it up, then toggle it off again, so the alternator stopped kicking in.
So I didn't even know what it looked like. Don, that was actually a pretty sweet-looking car.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was my Wind Charger because there was a lot of similarities to Wind Charger as far as the color anyway.
Holy crap, I had no idea that was a thing in the United States. Neat.
And I remember being in the theaters. I remember when Ironhide got killed, I was like just stunned. you were not expecting this. Because I had just finished a season 2 or something. Or whatever, not that much earlier, and you come in and Ironhide gets blown away and Prowl gets killed by Scavenger. You're thinking, oh my God. And then Prime dies, and it's like, no.
Don, I know
that Ironhide death was pretty brutal, too.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just it. That was the first death, and it's like, and by the time when Prime dies, you're still so wound up over. And then in between, you see Wheeljack and Windcharger.
Did you scream and yell and punch and
no,
kick?
No, I didn't. I think. No, I
imagine it is more of a shriek. From
like
Don.
Yosemite no. Sam cussing.
Yes.
Don has tears in his eyes.
No, I think I was too stunned by. First, it was Ironhide. Then you had Windcharger and Wheeljack. Then you had Prime. And then it was like.
Actually, I think first it was Brawn, technically.
Well, I'm saying as far as just the major shocking moment. See, with Brawn, you kept thinking he would get back up because it's just a flesh wound. It's a shoulder wound. He didn't. But by the time you realized he wasn't back up, we lost Prowl to Scavenger, Ironhide, and Ratchet. And then you're so stunned when that happens. When you get to Prime's death, it just completely takes away any sense of you're just
you have no reason to live at that point.
No. I'm just saying you're so stunned. This is happening. You can't process it till you're out of the movie and you realize, oh my God, Prime is dead.
So it's interesting. It's interesting because I watched it as a child, not as a teenager, because of course I am younger than Don, as are most of us, and. Not that Don is, you know, Don's not that old, but Don is slightly above the mean average age in the United States by 2 or 3 years at this point.
For Transformers fans.
Yeah, for Transformers fans. But so it's really interesting. I'm not saying Don's old. Don is experienced. Remember that.
Whoa.
At HMRC for EVR. But it's just, it's interesting the difference because as a kid, I cried. I just sobbed when Optimus Prime died. It was the worst thing. But I went back. As a person basically 16 years old, just like Don was, and got a third generation VHS copy of it. And this was 20 years ago. So I can, oh my God, this was 20 years ago. So I can actually say this without any embarrassment. I watched it every day for an entire summer, like when I was out of school, like literally every day. A ritual is watching Transformers the movie. And I don't think it's a very good movie, you know, now, you know, as an adult who can, you know, sort of think through how a movie is constructed and stuff. But at 16, oh, it was the coolest thing ever. But I, when watching it at 16, I knew that all of the characters died. I knew who died. I knew all of that stuff. So I wasn't, like, stunned. I just thought it was cool. K-E-W-L. And,
Stop that.
Yeah, sorry. And
Well, it's just I was just stunned because coming off the cartoon where no one died, and then seeing this, you really can't see it on screen. People that have gone back and watched it don't understand what it was like coming off the cartoon.
Yeah,
and seeing this happen on the screen, I really cannot.
I can't process that. I mean, I don't have the context as an adult to think about that. It wasn't that long, Don, before you saw that Optimus Prime was chopped up into bits and then reassembled. You know,
the Ultra. Yeah, and then Ultra Magnus, or
no. I'm talking about City of Steel.
City of Steel. I mean, and then. He's gone. The Prime turns gray and he's just gone. And then you've got Magnus, who you've never heard of before. Voiced by the always awesome Robert Stack, though.
Robert Stack was awesome.
He was. But, you know, it's just, I literally did not process what I had just seen. And so I'm driving, I'm actually riding with my folks, me and all of us there. Some car was getting fixed or something. I don't remember what. And it didn't happen to that night. Just literally.
Yeah, it's really kind of crazy to think about it. But so that was in 86. This Week in History in 89, Transformers the Movie is released in Japan. That was Matrix Forever, wasn't it, Don? Was that what they called it in Japan?
I think so.
And so at that point, there was already. Season 3 had already come out as Transformers 2010, and Scramble City was created as a stopgap between the two. And if you go back and watch Headmasters, Optimus is alive there because he basically, I guess since he didn't die in Scramble City, right?
No.
He just left. He just basically said, "Hey, you're the leader now. I'm gone." So he was still around and kicking come time for Headmasters. I don't remember if they got Return of Optimus Prime or not in 2010.
No, they didn't. I've seen most of 2010, and pretty much
no Dark Awakening, no Return of Optimus Prime.
Not, I mean, I'm sure our viewers will correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh yeah,
but I don't remember that in 2010.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't remember that, or I'm virtually certain that they didn't get Rebirth.
Yeah, well, no, they didn't, because that's where Headmasters, that's where it branches yes. off into the Japanese continuity.
Yeah, but I mean, even like after the fact, in some capacity, oh, yeah, maybe on Laserdisc, but
as a bonus thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it certainly didn't happen in 2010.
Yeah,
but yeah, so it came out in 1989. And I honestly don't know how it's supposed to fit into continuity, if at all. It's probably not, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, because all of the Autobots who die in the movie are in Headmasters
yeah.
for at least a couple scenes.
Yeah, it's just
– I'm certain someone will correct me on that if I'm wrong, but I don't know how it's supposed to fit in continuity.
Well, now, we had mentioned this briefly in pre-show. Didn't KISS Players actually, using all of the media involved with KISS Players, the radio dramas and everything, didn't they put everything in in G1 continuity together?
So
up to that point,
so Takara has this continuity. It's on their website. This timeline that's supposed to tie everything together: Car Robots, Beast Wars, all of that stuff, and it's. It's nonsensical. I mean, okay. It just doesn't make any sense.
Because I haven't read it in years, so I can't remember.
So I don't know. I don't know where Transformers the movie lies on that timeline, or if it does, because I certainly haven't memorized it. But yeah, they try to tie everything together as a continuity, and it's cute. You know, it's funny that they did that. But yeah, that's This Week in History. Our show, let's go ahead and jump to This Week in News. So, sorry, my wife hates it when I do that. I'm trying to sound like her uncle. Like, Kim, what are you talking about? What? And that's Zach Galifianakis. So, sorry, on the side. I break into that voice all the time, and it drives her and me crazy. Okay, so, just this is a PSA. If you are interested in subscription service 4.0, orders have started as of yesterday.
If you want some more of those repaints that you want to pay extra money for, here it is.
Part of me, a combiner, though.
I mean, so
it speaks to me.
My problem with this is the thing that I originally made me want it, which is the fact that yeah, it's a frickin' line of Combiner Wars figures. But I am slowly growing tired of Combiner Wars. I hate to admit that. But yeah. This does have Needle Nose, so, you know, there's that.
And Ruckus.
Yeah.
Windsweeper. And
Spinister.
I much would have rathered Hasbro if they could, instead of doing this whole Combiner Wars year, if they could have broke these up into maybe, like,
two a year
or something like that. Yeah, because even then, if we got a repaint, you know, 3-4 years from now, we're not going to mind it as much. And now it's just like they're just opening our mouths and just dumping repaints down our throat. And then for whatever reason, Transformers Collectors Club, instead of doing this next year or the year after, like, oh, let's just keep dumping it down their throats.
You're right. It is interesting that they're doing this. You're concurrent with Combiner Wars, but that's the reason they're doing it, is to capture all of the demand for Combiner Wars.
Incredibly popular right now, so that's actually a good, makes a lot of business sense.
And also, with all these molds being readily available, they don't have to worry about trying to get molds on a production line that would mess up everything else. So, I mean, so they don't have to worry about delays or worry about as many issues as they would with other stuff in the past.
I'm just thinking I might have been more excited about this set if it was a year or two down the line when we weren't getting combiners anymore.
Maybe.
And then I'd been like, yeah, you know, that's cool. I remember 2 years ago when Combiner Wars were cool and I was really into them, and now I can't get them anymore. So I'll get this subscription service, pay extra money, and get another combiner.
I can see where you would do that, but they're striking while the iron is hot.
But like, say they had done a pre-existing combiner team that we're never going to get, like Guard City. Would that have been more interesting to people?
No.
Well,
no.
It would to me, because I don't have Guard City, and I was liking Guard City.
I mean, like, I lust over Guard City, but if I buy that, I want to buy that as a box set that comes out once. I don't want to wait a year or 6 months or whatever it takes to get Guard City.
Yeah. And one other thing to consider is maybe if they had waited 2 years to do this, I know the molds will still be available and they'd be viable, but they may not have access to them for some reason.
They may not be viable because who knows how many times between now and then that they're going to be used. But
yeah, we haven't even got our G2 sets yet.
Yeah, so. But not like the reason I don't think they're going to do Guard City and they're keeping this sort of diverse mix is because there's going to be lots of people who just don't want Guard City or Battle Gaia or a G2 Defensor.
I don't understand them at all.
But I mean, so that would be more divisive than would be.
But you think a handful of random characters?
Yeah, that's the market that they're supposed to be there to cater to. That's what they do. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I want it. I don't know that I want to buy it. I am strongly leaning against it.
Yeah, I want it, but I'm in the same boat. I want it, but I'm not sure if I want it bad enough.
Yeah. For what it is. So I'm going to go and move ahead because I don't want to talk too much about Combiner Wars. I just want to talk sort of about that thing. But whenever Combiner Wars comes up, we just want to vent on combiners and Combiner Wars and, you know. But Transformers Legends, Ultra Magnus, new photos show off the deco, and it's pretty. It's very pretty. I have it pre-ordered, and I can't wait to get this. It's very nice looking. It looks way better, I think, than the Hasbro version.
I'm happy with the Hasbro version.
I like the Hasbro version. But this is much prettier.
Yeah, I just don't have enough attachment to the character as he is to...
Don, I can't deal with that now.
The only thing that's cool about this is it's going to come with a little Alpha Trion. I don't know why I like that, but I like it.
Yeah.
That's what draws me to it. It's just so out of left field and makes no sense. It's great.
Well, yeah. I'll admit, I do want to read the character bio on this to find out what the in-universe reason is. But
it'll be in Japanese.
It'll get translated.
I'm sure Hydra will translate it before, when it comes out.
So I just had an idea, because I was talking about playing games I don't understand. Of course, that's an allusion to Rob Clay's blog Flail Throughs. What we should do is we should have like a podcast where we try to explain manga, but none of us read Japanese. So like we try to explain what's going on in the bios.
So basically, you were doing what I was doing in the mid-90s and making up my own words to Master Force and Victory VHS tapes.
Yes. My first VHS of Headmasters completely unsubbed, and it made no sense. No sense. So Diecast was like pointing like 80s wrestler style to his head like he had a great idea. What did I miss, Diecast?
No, I just couldn't hear anybody.
Oh, you couldn't?
That was you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought he had, like, oh, I came up with a great idea. I fooled the guys, so I'm going to do it. I love that shtick. Let's see here. So I like Ultra Magnus, and I'm going to get it. And screw you guys if you don't want it.
It should be out next month.
Yeah, pretty excited. So something that makes me really, really sad. And I wanted to save that earlier Combiner Wars talk for this. First look at Ultra Prime, featuring the Autobot car limbs. in my mind's eye, in my imagination, this was going to be so beautiful and amazing and lovely, and it would complete my life. But now that I see the cars in limb mode, it's kind of like finding out that Santa Claus isn't real, or that my parents didn't adopt me. Wait, maybe not that one.
The Stunicons. You should have known what to expect.
I know, but this has been like that. That almost Masquerade set that I wanted my whole life, and it's not.
But the only character for Masquerade is Mirage.
I know.
I mean, we've known that for quite some time.
Well,
you can't equate the two.
Don't forget Optimus. That almost. Yeah, it just, I don't know. Where it's more cohesive with the Stunicons. This just, I don't know. It just doesn't. It makes me sad. It really just kind of makes me sad.
This is my whole problem with Combiner Wars. Is like it doesn't. It just repaints that really don't make any sense to me, because this doesn't need to be a Combiner. It doesn't. I would love an updated Prowl, an updated Sunstreaker, an updated Trax, an updated Ironhide. They don't have to be Combiner Wars figures. They can still be in the line. I don't think there's any problem with that. And I guess the whole gimmick is the reason we don't have any firing missiles or any of that is it's the gimmick is that they're Combiners.
Yeah, that's the play pattern that's built into them.
So,
yeah,
I just it's too much for me.
I'll get them, but it will never ever leave Super Robot mode.
Yeah. Like, let's see here. Who do we... Prowl. I was going to say we've got better versions of these already, but we only have that really in one case, Mirage. Because that
I still like that Sunstreaker mold.
It's okay. But it's certainly,
I like it more than that Breakdown mold.
Yeah. It's certainly... That Prowl mold is not that great. And while most people dish on Ironhide... Of course, you know, partially because I got it from you, Melvar. I don't hate it at all. But
I don't hate it either. The arms are an unfortunate mess. That's my problem with that mold.
Yeah, but oh man, I don't know. This is just saddening.
For me personally, this is where I find myself diving deeper into Masterpiece, because I'm like, these are really well-known G1 characters that I want decent toys of, and I'm like, well, we're getting an Ironhide. Not that saying it's going to be totally decent.
No, it's fine.
But we have a really nice Prowl. Sunstreaker we'll probably
eventually get.
But we always have third party to fill those holes for now.
Yeah.
Mirage is kind of the same thing. Like, we think eventually we'll get one, but we have 30 third-party ones to fill the holes, and we have a really nice MP10. I mean, MP10 is really nice.
Is beautiful,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I just...
Yeah, like, I know exactly what you mean. I sort of see myself retreating to Masterpiece as well, because I love as a concept, Combiner Wars. It's just... You know, after a while, it's kind of like... You kind of see the seams, you kind of see... The chinks in the armor, you kind of see just the limitations and lots of repaints.
I still love it. I just wish we'd get a new mold or two.
Yeah. Maybe a new mold or two would turn me around. I don't know.
More than just Skylynx. Skylynx looks great, but we need more.
Yeah.
More new molds.
Gosh. And it's sad, because now I'm thinking about, instead of, oh, well, I want this mold or, like, of this character, or I want a mold of that character, I'm thinking, well, it'd be nice if we had, you know, we have an ambulance mold, we have a helicopter mold, you know, we have a tank mold. Instead of thinking about the character, I'm thinking of, like, the vehicle. And that's just not right.
I just keep thinking, I can't wait till Combiner Wars ends, and I hate to say that, because, like, Matt said, we still really want Computron, but we really want a good Computron. If it's just going to be a bunch of repaints, I'm just just kill the line. I'm done.
Which it's not looking promising so far. It's really not.
And you know, Titan Wars will come along hopefully and possibly fix a lot of our problems.
Light our darkest hour.
Yeah. Totally. let's see.
Until they repaint all of that 4 times.
We'll see. I don't know that that's as imminently repaintable as Combiner Wars.
We'll find out.
I think Combiner Wars is like the line that's there to sort of recoup some money. Hey, so I don't have mine yet. I need to actually ship it. But Kabaya, Pronicon, we have new photos of that. And it's shipping. So some of you probably already have it. It's nice looking. It's very nice looking.
It's the Seacons. Of course it is.
It's a Kabaya gum kit.
Does anybody have any Kabaya combiners?
Do you count Fort Max?
Sorta, because he has discrete parts, but it's not quite the same thing. I know that there's a Defensor, isn't there?
And I think so.
Fortress Maximus is more of a some assembly required as opposed to a combiner.
Yeah,
it's good.
This is very nice looking, and can't wait to get mine. I will probably put this together, as opposed to the big box of stuff that I got that I haven't put together over the last few years. Anybody else getting this besides me?
No,
I don't have any Kabaya stuff. That's
you need to start with this.
I'm trying to avoid going down another rabbit hole that I, you know.
Well, it's not that big of a rabbit hole because there are not that many of them, all said and done.
Yeah, and they're pretty cheap.
And they don't come out that often.
Yeah. I just think the Fort Max one was the best one. And then after that, it's kind of eh.
I've got to put together like Road Caesar. I think I've got Road Caesar, Overlord, I think. I don't even remember. I just got a big box of stuff. Let's see here. What else do we have going on? Don't have a link for this one or anything to show, but James Roberts is announced for TFCon Charlotte, so that's pretty sweet. I haven't met James Roberts, and I will be at TFCon Charlotte, as will most of everybody here, except for John. And
John's not going to be there? It's going to be awesome, John. You're going to miss a good time.
Yeah, tell me all about it. I don't believe Rob and Chris are going to be able to make it either.
No, but, you know. You know, everybody here right now, except for John. Rob and Chris, I hate that they're not going, you know, but, you know, maybe next time. And as we pointed out, if TFCon Charlotte does well in 2015, we do expect a 2016 TFCon Charlotte in addition to TFCon Chicago. So make it happen, people! Okay.
In addition to James Roberts, Corin Howell, the current Windblade artist, is also scheduled to be at TFCon Charlotte.
And I think we mentioned Greg Burr before. So,
yeah,
really cool. And I'm trying. I keep mentioning it, and he keeps liking it. I really want Michael Bell to show up. So, you know, Colin, Dave, make it happen. Okay. So, that's pretty much it for official news this week. Did anybody get anything cool on Amazon this week?
Yeah, I got the other half of my Viper team.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Transformers Adventure Strong Arm.
Nice. Did anybody get that through tfradio.net/Amazon?
Yes. Sweet. Yes, I got all of that through Transformers or tfradio.net/Amazon.
Thank you guys. You're so great and so fantastic. So it's not Transformers related, but I got a new keyboard this week. I replaced my 22-year-old IBM Model M keyboard with a brand new brown switch. Gaming keyboard, and it's nice, and I love it, and I want to marry it. tfradio.net/Amazon. The show is brought to you by you. You don't have to spend a dime more than you normally would, but if you just use Amazon through our link, a little bit of money goes our way and helps keep the lights on. So, because of you and using tfradio.net/Amazon, we're not going to have to put Don to sleep. So. Don gets another, you know, he gets a roof over his head.
Oh, so basically it's like
we can afford to get Don his shots this year.
Yes.
Okay, so basically I'm like the Marvel Comics cover. Buy this comic where I shoot the doll.
Yes.
That's basically what it boils down
to. So I remember that. Who was it, Deadpool? What comic was that?
They used it several times. I think it was Deadpool, They had a variant version in the MC2 universe with Spider-Girl.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. That's the one. That's where I know it from.
Yeah, with the monkey, with the gorilla.
Yeah. So
we try every way we can to make a little bit of money to help run the show. We even tried renting Don out to TFYLP, but unfortunately, they're now charging us for him to be on the show. So
because this amount of awesome needs a high level of maintenance.
Don is pretty great.
You get what you pay for, Doc. Yes.
So Don, a lot of people have like Facebook fan pages. You need a Facebook fan page. It would just be one post. Hello, my name is Don. Perhaps you've heard of me. Okay. Hey. Okay. So we only have one third party item that I want to talk about, but I want to spend quite a bit of time on this because what the heck? Toy World to produce a large, unofficial Devastator. It's going to be an inch taller than Combiner Wars. This is, not counting the super deformed one, what, the fifth? Third party Devastator.
Fifth, yeah. TFC Toys did Hercules, then Make Toys did Green Giant.
And we're getting I don't think it's Iron Factory, but it's the same Legend scale.
Oh, DX9, Hulky. Yeah, and, well, that's the Legend scale, so I'm not counting that one. But then there's the Generation Toys, which is basically Gravity looks like Builder. Warbitron, Gravity Builder, and then this one. So, yeah, that's four or five, depending on how you're counting them.
Yeah. So
this is getting ridiculous.
So I'm not foolish, and I completely understand that. For the most part, these companies are unaffiliated. Now, some companies do operate under multiple names, and they may share some resources, but it's not like some cabal that's out there. You know, like there's no third party syndicate out there that just decides what toys get created. But you would think, just for the sake of their own sales, that the third party companies might come up with some sort of pact or some sort of plan on how to release these toys and how to, distribute them. I know it sounds silly, but when you're on your fifth.
Or perhaps, do a Google search and say, oh, somebody's already done this figure.
Yeah. Well,
multiple times.
Well, I brought this up a long time ago, but when the Freddy Kings were all coming out, it's like we thought everybody had learned their lesson when Hercules and Giant both were hitting at the same time, and everybody was torn on which way to go based on their aesthetics.
That's a little bit different, Don, because, I mean, the time frame those came out in, it's kind of obvious that everybody had the same idea at the same time.
Right.
This, I mean, Hercules and Giant have been around for years at this point.
No, I agree. Now, I'm just saying that even back as far as the Predakings coming out, we've talked about this doesn't need to happen again. You're splitting an already limited base of purchasers drastically. And now we're seeing it again with another Devastator that's not, like y'all are saying, it's not necessary. So that they haven't learned to communicate.
And they probably never will. But the thing is, like, third party was great when it was to fill in a hole in your collection. Like, oh, I don't have this, they haven't released an Overlord since 1993 or something. Or, yeah, I can't get this character because he's not. There's a freaking Devastator on the shelf! You can go to Toys R Us or tfready.net/Devastator. You can get this.
But that doesn't mean it's the best Devastator. It's not the collector's Devastator, and that's what really third party is.
Okay. So go get the Giant that they already know about, or Hercules.
Giant's too small. I have Giant. I love Giant. It's too small. Now I'm into this bigger size class for my Combiners, which is basically because of Warbitron, but I have my Bruticus, which is huge. They're all roughly Voyager-sized figures. I've got Computron, which is going to be, I'm three bots in on that, which is going to be about the same size. And that's why this Generation Toys was coming out. And now you have the Devastator from Toy World, which is a little bit taller than Combiner Wars. I mean, but it's all in that same size category that I'm thinking, almost like masterpiece-sized third-party combiners is how I'm thinking of it. And I don't have a Devastator in that yet. Hercules, I've never seen it combined in person, but it's probably not as big as
Hercules is about perfect to go with your Combiner Wars Superion and Menasor.
So yeah. I'll say this. I totally get the trying to keep it quote-unquote in scale with Warbitron and all these other toys. But when you're looking at it trying to – do you have more people out there who are trying to get Masterpiece scale combiners, or do you have more people out there who are buying Combiner Wars?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt more people buying Combiner Wars.
So when you try to – so instead of trying to market like this really expensive toy that's 700 people, 1,000 people, would you rather target 30,000 people? Not make 30,000 units, but make as the same number of units and charge a little more because you have more demand.
They can't target that large of a market though, just because of the distribution route and the factories.
No, I'm saying not even make any more units. Make the same number of units, just make them maybe a little smaller, maybe a little less complex, something that's closer to Combiner Wars. Maybe their artistic vision is to – that's not what they want, so they wanted to do this. But I'm just saying, not everything is driven by economics, though it should be. No, I'm kidding. But it would just make more sense to try to cater to Combiner Wars fans because you create demand there. You could sell the same toy in the same volume for more money and make more money. And it's not like they don't get press – T-Former, Sabertron, TFW, AllSpark, all the websites, post it, Twitter, Facebook. So they get their name gets out there. Just seems like they would try to sell to more people. I don't know. But I think it's crazy, honestly. Not that I think that Combiner Wars Devastator is the be-all, end-all. I have problems with it. It's, combined, it's okay. Individual pieces leave me a little meh.
But we have plenty of Devastator options right now.
There are
I don't agree.
Somebody make a Raiden.
Yes.
I don't agree.
You don't agree that there are too many options?
I don't agree that there's enough Devastators out there right now.
Wow. That's awesome. Tell how, why?
Hercules is old. He's how many years old? Three, four years
same
old?
Same as Giant.
He's old. Old engineering. Wrong size class anymore.
Personally. Oh my gosh, let's just throw them out and buy another one.
Exactly. Yes. And a lot of people do that.
It's not like it cost me $600 or anything.
There is nothing wrong. Hercules still holds up.
Hercules is fantastic.
I'm just saying, Giant, I love Giant. He's what I consider my classics Devastator, but for me, I need a masterpiece size combiner, and Combiner Wars Devastator just doesn't do it for me. It's nice. I mean, I got it. I like it, and I'm gonna buy some upgrades for it. But I want a definitive collector's Devastator.
Okay, so
I don't think. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm saying I don't think you're going to get that because every one of these is going to have its own unique aesthetic, and unless it just happens to hit every aesthetic you have, no one figure is going to be perfect.
Are you going to buy a brand new third-party Devastator every 5 years?
Every 2 years.
For $600 a pop?
Possibly.
Because there's always going to be some improvement in some.
Yeah. So is Toy World the company that's going to create this toy that you're looking for diecast?
Honestly, I think right now I'm kind of leaning towards the Generation Toys one. But I mean, maybe. I need to see a little bit more.
How big is Gravity Builder?
Prototype.
Is that going to be the Masterpiece scale
well,
size?
From what,
yeah, that's going to be the Warbitron size.
Yeah, the Warbitron size.
And that's really why I'm buying it. That's what I want. Am I buying it for scale? Yeah, I probably am. It'll fit on top of it.
Well, I guess maybe that's what we're running into, Brian. Is it's not just an aesthetics thing. It's something of an age thing to a small degree. And I'm just gonna say that because I grew up with the Transformers, when it didn't care.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
There, you're back.
Okay, maybe not. I'll say this. So, now I'll let you speak, Don. Here's the thing about this that it makes it hard for me to understand, and it's probably because I'm looking at this wrong. There are a lot of third-party companies out there producing this stuff, and to me, that's insane. There are a lot of third-party companies trying to create the same character, and to me, that's insane. But a third-party company isn't Hasbro. They don't have the same budget constraints as Hasbro. They don't have the same target audience as Hasbro, necessarily. They're not Hasbro. So if you look at them as a bunch of small, little, discrete copies of Hasbro, you're doing it wrong. I guess, ultimately, it's kind of like, and I rail on, there are too many podcasts out there, and that's because I'm a curmudgeon, and I've been, you know, when you're the first person to do something, you think of everybody else as a copy. And I do, honestly. But the thing is, they're not. It's somebody doing their own thing. It's somebody expressing their own opinion. It's somebody creating their own content. These companies are out there trying to create their own stuff. They're trying to create their Devastator.
Based on somebody else's IP.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But they're trying to express their, hopefully, love for this thing that's out there. I mean, technically, ultimately, we're kind of infringing a little bit on IP, you know, just in the name that we're using. Definitely, you know, back when Hasbro and companies were less lenient, you know,
we're
using,
not selling anything,
using the theme, pf40.net/Amazon. All I'm saying is the economics aren't the same in these little silos as there are with the big company Hasbro. So if I'm trying to look at things that way, I am probably looking at it wrong. But to Matt's point, it's all stolen intellectual property, and that just colors the whole thing.
I don't know if you can say it's stolen if
they're not defending it.
Yeah. That's my thing, because I was thinking about the legality, because something came up that we kind of talked about one third party was upset that another third party apparently or allegedly stole their engineering for a figure.
And that is so ridiculous.
And people were saying, well, what's the difference between stealing the engineering for a figure or stealing IP? And I'm like, well, it's kind of, I mean, because the company even said, you know, if I couldn't make transforming toys, I could make something else. It's just they're doing it because they enjoy making these toys. And, you know, because no one is saying, hey, you're not allowed, they keep doing it.
It's like if you're somebody who sits on YouTube and reviews toys and you can make a living that way, great. If you can play video games, great. So I guess if you're a third-party designer and you can make your living, you know, selling stolen intellectual property, and if the person whose property it is isn't, you know, coming to sue you, great.
See, I like to think of it
doesn't make
borrowed,
it not stolen, though.
You're
it's
correct.
Borrowed intellectual property.
So Hasbro isn't ostensibly not seeking out and crushing these companies. I know that they do seek out, like, literal stolen, either stolen toys or stolen engineering. They do seek out companies and try to, or they did in the past anyway, try to shut those guys down. But for whatever reason, they're not doing it. But it is still stolen, to Matt's point.
I think of it as borrowed, personally, but...
No, because they're not giving it back.
Yeah, it's stolen.
Okay, but... Can I go, Brian?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Now, I think what we're looking at it is also to the point where, for the longest time, as I said, scale was not an issue. It was a non-issue, because if you tried to make it an issue, it would not hold up, because the stuff just was not produced even close to being accurate. Now that we've gotten scale and masterpieces, so many people are going back and trying to make everything fit in this scale. And that's what these people are doing, is they're going back and making new toys that will be in better fit with the stuff since Masterpiece.
Maybe not.
But I mean, you know, I think what we're seeing though is we are seeing more companies trying to make more stuff in scale with Masterpiece, since that is the new standard for scale. In my opinion, now this is just me. People don't need to worry about scale. They don't need to worry about, is this thing tall enough to be in scale with these cars? It's not important. What's important is it a figure that you like that looks good on the shelf? Will you have any regrets buying it for it being a figure that looks good on your shelf that you enjoy? Who cares if it's only 8 inches taller than the Autobot cars when it should be 14 inches?
I agree with you.
If somebody was making third-party Devastator in Masterpiece scale, Mixmaster would be bigger than Optimus Prime.
Well, no. So okay, no. So
if you're going by vehicle scale,
We're not. Though is the thing. That would be huge. We don't go by vehicle scale. Is the thing.
Right.
So to Don's point, I agree with Don to a point, but like you said, with Masterpiece, they are kind of trying to go to a scale. So probably what's going to, and they're trying to scale to robot mode. They're not scaling to vehicle mode. They're scaling to robot mode. So if we ever get Seekers, they're going to be about as tall as Optimus. And it will be completely out of scale at the vehicle mode, but they'll be in scale-ish in robot. That's probably the way it should be. But
exactly.
But the thing is, Don, in what Don's saying, he is exactly right, because scale is scale in Transformers is a completely artificial thing, and it's entirely up to whoever is, you know, designing whatever. And right now, that's the, you know, Takara team that's designing all the Masterpiece figures. And at some point, they'll have different designers who have a different scale, and that'll be all out the window. So, trying to create third party toys to this scale, I think it's fleeting. It's fleeting at best, because the scale will probably change. And it's not like they're trying to, in my mind, create to the scale of Masterpiece. They're roughly trying to do it, and they're probably more or less trying to create to their own internal scale, which only just kind of roughly matches Masterpiece. I don't think it's strictly Masterpiece.
See,
yeah, go ahead, Doc.
I was going to say, if you look at my DTOFs that I sent out, which I did, you know, put pictures on Twitter. If you look at that, and to me, that is a decent Masterpiece-esque display, and scale is important to me in that display. And I think it looks really good, because I was worried about that, and it shows in my display.
Scale that, but you're talking about, is a very, very, very recent event in Transformers, and it's not going to last.
Yeah, and that's just what I was saying. Those of us who grew up without it don't have this need to have to make everything fit. Is Hercules taller than Prime? Yes. Can he stomp on Prime? Pretty much. So Hercules, to me, is still a fine Devastator in the classic style. This Combiner Wars Devastator is a great Devastator in the G1 sort of style.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter whether everything fits. Is Devastator taller than Prime? Yes, it's fine.
So I think ultimately we're sort of veered away a little bit from the original topic of the fact that we have 45 Devastators coming out, 38 Predator Kings out there, and a partridge in a pear tree. It's just kind of there's a lot of it. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. I don't know what's the right way to look at it. I know historically I've been very anti third party, and I've mellowed a lot. But to Matt's point, it's all stolen. So I mean, if the Paladin in me, and not the Paladin from Superhero Time, but the Paladin from, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons, if I was like strictly lawful good, I would have to be anti third party. So I guess I'm not.
I'm not either. I stand behind, you know, what I said, that it's stolen IP. But still, if there's a figure that I don't think I'm ever going to get, I'll buy the third party version.
Yeah,
I've got the Spartan on pre-order coming out next month. Yeah. So.
But now, you see, I don't mind going, instead of going bigger, Hulky is going smaller, which I think is a good direction to go, because there are people who it differentiates it. It gives you a transforming Devastator in a new design. But a lot of people like Chris has mentioned before, room. Where are you going to put this?
And but it's still going for a scale. Nothing. It's legend scale. I mean, scale that they're trying to achieve with that figure.
Right. But there's not that. But if you've got other legends figures like the War in the Pocket line, this is a perfect example for you to have a Devastator for that size class.
We're saying it's legend scale. Has anyone actually compared it to a legends figure?
I don't know.
It's
a smaller toy.
Yeah. It's being made in that scale.
Legends toys aren't in scale with each other, though. They're roughly the same size, but that doesn't mean that, you know.
That's a scale.
It's a price
roughly
point.
Yeah. Same, to me,
roughly the same price point.
Price point. Size. Yeah.
And you can't say price point with third party because price point is out the window.
But Legends as being a scale and Transformers is a price point. Yeah.
It's
scale.
Scaled to the Legends price point.
Yeah.
Right. But I like it because, again, just saying this. Because it's a smaller figure, people have more room for this.
And it would probably be a better toy. I don't... Possibly. John, no. Do you have anything to chime in on?
No, I think you guys have covered it.
Yeah.
Completely.
I do too.
Totally.
I do, now I don't know that we need that third... Nah, we're gonna do a mini-cast on that stolen engineering or something, right, guys?
Sure. No honor among thieves.
No. I think that's silly. I can totally understand feeling ripped off because somebody would take stuff, design, you know, work that I did. But also, you kind of have to sit back and reflect on. I don't want to spoil it. So you can pretty much guess what I think.
You're going to want to tune into that mini cast because I think it's going to get heated in that mini cast too.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see here. On the network this week, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, and Don is gone, or he disappeared for a second. It's an episode of Voyager, which is Pathfinder, and I don't remember that episode, so I cannot speak to it. But on the minicast, John and Matt talk about, they go off topic, and talk about Arkham Knight.
We did try to keep the spoilers to a minimum, mostly because John hasn't finished the game yet, so I could have really gone off on a tangent, but I kept it fairly spoiler-free.
Control yourself. Instead, we'd still had a good 20-some-minute conversation on Arkham Knight. Worth a listen, for sure.
Pretty cool. And also, let's see here, on There Goes My Money, Diecast talked about stuff. And apparently there's this Dr. Wu figure that Don needs, and I don't understand what it is.
It's a non-posable Carly in scale with the roughly in scale with the Spike and Daniel that came with Magnus, but with it not having any posability, it really was the point.
So I don't see you as like a big Carly fan. So why would whoever? I like Carly. I mean,
I would love to if she was a posable figure like a G.I. Joe figure.
Oh, I'd bell about that. Yeah,
I'd want to get her just because to have the Witwickies or for display, whatever the case may be, but a non-posable Carly does me as much good as a screen door on a submarine.
and Matt also joined me on There Goes My Money, and we talked. One of the other things we talked about was Gundog, and how we were confused that there's two coming out.
There's two.
Well, there's two versions.
Two versions of it.
Yeah. From the same company. It's just. The grain is different. The shoulders are different, supposedly.
Yes.
Something.
Although I've heard someone commented, I don't know if it's true or not, that on either version you could pose the shoulders either way you want. So basically, it's the only difference is the head's a little bit different, the color's a little bit different, and the paint apps are a little different.
Okay.
I think there's a little bit of detailing too. I think one has like the gas caps. Or the gas cans on the feet, and the other one does not. Yeah.
Cool.
So basically, one looks like the Hound, G1 Hound, other looks like the Jeeper Creeper green color.
Oh, very cool. Okay, I might look at that then. And on Being Awesome with Rob Springer, Tiny Titans, TFCon Charlotte, and a whole lot more. Hey, so Rob's not here, so Matt, why don't you tell us what's going on T-Formers this week?
All right, this week also on T-Formers, they have a Combiner Wars article. Someone has taken the Generations Scourge and Sweeps mold and customized it to fit with Generations Cyclonus to form a new Galvatronus. There's
just crazy.
Yes, there's also a video review of Generations Platinum Edition Dinobots with the new G1 head sculpts. And a Transformers Devastation video shows Optimus Prime's new fighting techniques.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if those connectors can be like, instead of modifying the Scourge and the Sweeps mold, if they could just snap over existing parts.
Don't know.
To make them fit.
Don't know. Well, I don't think we know, but we may learn more about that in the coming weeks. It's pretty neat. Well, guys, that was a pretty lively show.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we stretched those show notes a lot longer than I thought we could.
Heck yeah. But we didn't go too long, so it's been a nice, digestible-sized episode. Thank you for joining with me on this wonderful trip across Transformersdom. Anything else?
Thank you, Brian.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Anything else? Anything I'm missing? Forget about? I think that's it.
How many times did you plug the Amazon link?
Not enough.
Okay.
tfradio.net/Amazon.
Yeah, what Amazon link are you talking about, John?
Exactly. Okay. Well, for the guys, I'm your host, Brian Kilby. We will be back next week.
Later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required. If you know what's good for you.
Transformers, it's better than crack.